in the limelight.
According to the report by Gallup and West Health, 18% of U.S. adults, around 46 million people, say that if they needed access to quality health care today, they would not be able to cover the cost. The same percentage of adults report that amid a deadly pandemic, someone in their household has opted to skip needed care over the past year due to inability to pay. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Jake Johnson, writer. This article is published under the heading, 46 million in U.S. say that they would not be able to afford needed health care. Stay tuned for the details, please. A new study released recently shows that nearly 50 million Americans would be unable to afford quality health care should the need for treatment suddenly arise, a finding seen as further evidence of the immorality of a for-profit insurance system that grants or denies coverage based on a person's ability to pay. People can't afford their government health care. Tist Foss, a proponent of single-payer healthcare, tweeted in response to the new report. Families spend less on food so they can make insurance payments. This problem is felt by all, but concentrated among poor people and black people. The American model of health reform, throwing money at private insurers, cannot solve it. The rot is pervasive and it runs deep, Foss added. People who can't afford health care just don't get health care. Wealthy men get to live 15 years longer than poor men. We have condemned poor children to die from things which do not kill rich children. In America, sickness makes you poor. Poorness makes you sick. Then you die. According to the report by Gallup and West Health, 18% of U.S. adults, that is around 46 million people, say that if they needed access to quality health care today, they would not be able to cover the cost. The same percentage of adults report that amid a deadly pandemic, someone in their household has opted to skip needed care over the past year due to inability to pay. The chances of any given household suffering from this form of healthcare insecurity are inversely related to annual household income, with 35% of respondents from low-income households, those earning under $24,000 per year, reporting foregoing care in prior 12 months. Gallup's Dan Reuters notes in a summary of the study's findings. That is five times the rate reported by those from high-income households, 7%, defined as earning at least $180,000. Dr. Vikas Sonai, president of the Loan Institute think tank, told The Guardian recently that, unfortunately, it's not surprising that millions of Americans can't afford health care. It is, however, shocking and kind of outrageous, Sonai added. U.S. system has been structured for many years on the basis of private health plans and very deep dysfunction politically and within the medical industry. Americans have been facing this mammoth problem. It was there during and looks like it's going to be after the pandemic. Americans want and need, I'd say, a radically better healthcare system. The study comes 2 weeks after a group of House Democrats led by Representatives Pramila Jayapal and Debbie Dingell unveiled the Medicare for All Act of 2021, sweeping legislation that would transition the U.S. to a single-payer healthcare system over a two-year period. The new system would guarantee comprehensive medical care to every person in the U.S. for free at the point of service, eliminating premiums, copays, and deductibles. According to an analysis released by consumer advocacy group Public Citizen earlier this month, a Medicare for All system likely would have prevented hundreds of thousands of coronavirus deaths in the United States, which has the highest COVID-19 death toll in the world. There is a solution to this health crisis, a popular one that guarantees health care to every person as a human right, and finally puts people over profits and care over corporations, said Jayapal, chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. That solution is Medicare for All, everyone in, nobody out. In their new study, Gallup and West Health show that over 80% of Americans support setting caps on out-of-pocket costs for both prescription drugs and general health care services for those who are insured by Medicare. 60% of Americans support making Medicare available to everyone, according to the report. The study also finds that 65% of U.S. adults support lowering the Medicare eligibility age from 65 to 60, a proposal that congressional Democrats are reportedly planning to include in a forthcoming legislative package.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids? That is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran. For be a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. And the answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. I'm Hassanain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiyaqum. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure. Brother Miqdad, one of our listeners has written to us that I have a few children. We often go outdoors to play. These days with the pandemic, I'm extra careful, and I'm sure that I always have a spray with me to wash their hands and make sure that they don't put their hands in their mouth. And they wear masks everywhere. So my husband thinks that I'm paranoid, number one. And also, it's very difficult to implement all the safety regulations. These days with the pandemic, many parents go through these kind of situations. So do you have any tips or any advice?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the first point that we can mention over here is that these are difficult times. It's challenging for everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
It's not normal days, you can say, at the very least. And so we have to acknowledge this. Sometimes it's a mental process, you know, that this is not easy. Yes, we acknowledge it's not
That's
easy.
True.
We acknowledge that there's a lot of suffering that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of negative consequences that will come about because of this, whether it's due to schools closing down or children not having enough outdoor time or enough social time with their friends because everybody's on lockdown. Children are spending a lot of time on the screen time. These are all negative consequences that will come from this pandemic and this difficult challenge that we are all facing across the world.
Yeah.
So we acknowledge this, and obviously it's during these times that we turn to Allah, we pray to Allah, that not only that this bala, this challenge, this difficult moments are taken away from us, inshallah, very soon, but also that we pray to Allah to help us in this, and
inshallah,
to reduce the consequence that will come because of this. And obviously these are the moments that we have to turn to Allah and really pray to Allah for this. So this is number one, and we don't expect... for all of us, I mean, I pray to Allah that none of us, inshallah, fall ill, and we are saved from this. But there are other consequences. This is not the only negative consequence that will come. As I mentioned, this for children also is very difficult.
True.
So that's the first point. Second point is that health is obviously very important, and we have to take care of what the specialists have told us. These safety regulations, these instructions and advice that have been given to us, from wearing a mask to making sure that we clean our hands and hygiene, etc. These are all precautionary measures that have given to us by experts in the field, and we have to try and abide by these regulations because this will hopefully be a means to actually reduce the number of deaths, obviously, to transfer the disease to others.
True.
So it's very important that we try as much as we can to take care of these regulations, to abide by them, to also help our children if it applies to them as well, to abide by them, and to take care of ourselves, definitely, because it's a matter related to health, and we need to take care of ourselves. What's important also to realize is that it's part of a social norm as well. So it's not just taking care of ourselves, but it's also taking care of others. You know, sometimes some people say that, oh, but the disease doesn't affect children, or I'm strong enough, I can bear with it, and so I'm not going to abide by any of the instructions given to us. The answer is that perhaps that may be the case, but what about passing on the disease to others? You could be a carrier, and perhaps it might not affect you, but others will be affected by it, and it might have negative consequences for others. So we have to be conscious of these things, and obviously we live in a society, and we take care of not just ourselves, but also of others.
Okay, yeah, thanks so much, Brother Miqdad, and let's take a short break over here.
Hey, stop! I got a better game! IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience, and we're discussing about the safety regulations in the pandemic, that we need to abide with the regulations and we need to observe the basic safety regulations. Brother Muddat, please continue.
Having said all that, it's important for us not to get paranoid, not to get obsessed, because obsession is not a positive thing.
Yeah.
Right. We have to remember that as a first point is that we all have a responsibility, as I mentioned. We are responsible to abiding by the instructions. Mm-hmm. We are responsible to take care of our health.
Yeah.
But obsession is when you actually think that you are the only cause.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that by doing everything that you're instructed with, 100% you're sure that everything will be prevented.
Yeah.
Right? Whilst it's not the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has other causes as well, and other means as well, that only Allah knows.
Right.
And our responsibility and our duty is to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. And after that, we rely on Allah. We trust Allah for whatever is going to happen.
That's right, yeah.
Remember the famous expression, which is also a hadith, that you tie your camel and then you rely on Allah. You trust Allah.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very important that this is the line that where obsession won't become an obsession. Obsession, it becomes when you think that you're going to tie the camel, and only by tying the camel you'll be able to help yourself and prevent any damage or any bad experiences.
True.
Well, the Ahlul Bayt have taught us, and the reality is such that you are responsible for tying the camel. But then your responsibility after that is to rely on Allah, not to get obsessed, not to think that this is the only cause. So as a parent, and to all parents out there, definitely try as much as you can to make sure that your children are safe, they're abiding by the instructions, ourselves as well, we're trying our best. However, we don't get after that, after we've done everything, we don't get obsessed, right? We do what we're supposed to do, then Allah knows best after that what's going to happen. And it's in Allah's hands what's going to happen to us. And when you have this, it's an attitude, it's a, it's a worldview, it's an ideology that I'm trying to explain. When you have this kind of outlook to the situation, then the obsession becomes quite, it goes away basically. It becomes very natural. You put gloves on, you make sure the children don't put their hands on in their mouths. But then you don't have this constant stress and anxiety and this thoughts bubbling in your mind your heart not being calm and tranquil because you constantly worry what's going to happen and you're obsessed about it. No, you do what you're supposed to do and then you're very calm, very relaxed. Everything relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, because we have seen during the pandemic, like many people have fallen sick. Just because of the pressure they had on their minds.
Exactly. Falling sick, psychological effects as well, right? So we're not saying don't do anything. Okay. We're saying, no, definitely do what you're supposed to do. But then rely on Allah. And then you feel this sense of calmness, tranquility. I've done my bit. I've tied my camel. Oh Allah, after this, I've done my duty. And then whatever happens is good. And Allah knows what's going to happen. And Allah only does that which is good for the mu'min. Right? This is an outlook that we have, that whatever happens to me, whether in apparent value it's good or in apparent value it's negative and it's harmful or it's painful, the reality of it is that it's good for me and Allah knows best.
Thank you so much, Wulak Mdad. Let's take a short break over here and your audience will be right back after the break.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
Welcome back to your audience, and we're discussing about relying on Allah. So, Brother Qumdad, please continue.
So this was related to the first aspect, and removing this anxiety, remove this mental stress and this obsession, right? By no means I'm saying that this mother is obsessed or not.
Yeah, because
for them to find out, basically. For them to realize themselves if they are or not. I'm just giving you a general principle that this is how we should approach the situation. Another thing that's good is we talk to children. It's important to talk to children. I mean, depending on their age, I don't know how old her children are, but it's good to talk to children, explain to them what's happening. They need to know as well. You can explain to them in their own language, in their own to their own level, basically, of what is happening, why we have to put a mask on, why we have to be so careful. Children understand, and they appreciate. At the same time, we shouldn't create fear in children, obviously, that they should be so scared, number one. Number two, we shouldn't create so much limitations that it affects them as well. I mean, their health is very important for sure. But remember, there's also a mental health as well, a psychological health as well. You don't want to destroy them psychologically just because you want to prevent them from becoming ill physically.
Right? Well, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but if you look at the question, and the question, it says that, like, we can see that she's just abiding with the basic regulations which needs to be observed during the pandemic, like just mask and sanitizer. She's using the sanitizer. So I don't think that she's being a paranoid over here.
For sure. I mean, the thing is, it should be, it's a mental state, as I explained. So and if you explain to children, then children also understand. They'll be happy. They will be more happier to abide or to actually help the situation. And if you turn into games, obviously, it can be like you put on colorful masks, for example. You make games out of who can remember every 5 minutes to put on the spray, for example, or to remind one each other, for example, to have a key. I don't know. You know, you can play these games where you have, if somebody puts their hands in their mouth, for example, you have a word that you say, and whoever says this word a few too many times. Yeah. So you can come up with different games, basically, to help children abide by these instructions. At the same time, you don't make it too much pressure on them. The next one is, obviously, parents have to be very patient. They have to take the burden of these things. Don't allow the burden to come on the children, right? It shouldn't feel that the children feel heavy, that, oh, I have to put a mask on, I have to do this, I have to do that. Let the burden come on the parents. The parents, with a lot of patience, a lot of kindness and gentleness, they can remind and abide, try and make sure the children are abiding by these instructions as well. And lastly, it's good to find alternative, perhaps. I mean, definitely I'm not saying that we should stop going to the parks and everything, obviously, if it's permitted to in these days to go to the park, etc. But we need to look for alternatives, whether it's playing in the garden sometimes, being creative. I mean, we said many times that because it's difficult periods, we need to find alternative ways of what we talk about. This is not normal. In normal circumstances, I would definitely go out there, go in the forest, go in the park, play outdoors. But now the circumstances are such that we can't, and it's difficult. So then we have to be a bit more creative, find different ways, find that which has the least amount of damage caused, basically. And inshallah, Allah will help us in these difficult moments.
Thank you so much, Brother Mahdad, and thank you so much to your audience for staying with us. So in this program, we discussed that how we need to abide with the basic regulations of this pandemic. And also after that, we need to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also keeping in mind about the mental health. So once again, thank you so much, Brother Mahdad, and audience, thank you so much as well. Thank you for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a thought-provoking saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the salvation for mankind in the end times. The world will not come to an end until a man from my progeny and of my name shall be master of the world. When you see a green ensign coming from the direction of Khorasan, then join them, for the Imam of God will be with the standards and will be called Al-Mahdi.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Light. A baby capybara has found a new family at a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali after she was abandoned by her mother soon after birth last December. The little capybara is 3 months old and is under the care of a surrogate mother who is in charge of providing her with the skills she needs for optimal development. The baby capybara was rejected shortly after birth by her first-time parents. But the zoo hopes that in a couple of months, she will be able to unite with another female of the same species.
As the COVID-19 pandemic has affected most sectors in one way or another, the Swiss tech firm has created a robot that can disinfect airplanes in a few minutes. The startup called Uvea says the robot emits powerful ultraviolet lights as it slowly moves down the aisle, killing 99% of bacteria and pathogens, including the coronavirus. The company says a robot can disinfect a single aisle in 13 minutes. The startup co-founder says the UVC technology has been used for decades in hospitals and labs. He says the fact that the rays could be harmful to humans prompted them to seek an autonomous robot that can carry out the task.
It's quite an old technology, but it's quite dangerous. That's why we want to take the worker out of the range of the light. So that's why we made a robot, because there is some solution when you are near the light, and that's dangerous. So we really had to make this system autonomous. So we switch it on, we leave, the machine makes the disinfection, all the plane, all around, and then it stops automatically. So the worker are not in contact with the machine.
The company is hopeful that technology could help restore travelers' confidence in safe air travel and help bring the worst-hit aviation sector back to its feet.
Now, in Egypt, more than 20 ancient royal mummies have been paraded to a new museum to be displayed in greater splendor. The mummies include 18 kings and 4 queens who were taken from the Egyptian Museum in central Cairo's Tahrir Square. They were transferred to the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization in Fustat, which lies some 5 kilometers to the southeast of the capital. The ceremony aimed to drum up interest in Egypt's rich collections of antiquities at a time when tourism has entirely stalled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Archaeologists discovered the mummies in 2 batches at the complex of mortuary temples of Deir al-Bahari, located on the west bank of Nile. High-tech light displays at the Beijing International Light Festival provide an immersive experience to visitors and create a miraculous night scene by illuminating the sky. The festival is held in a major urban park in the Chinese capital, Beijing, also a popular site for enjoying cherry blossoms in the spring. As the sun goes down, the park is illuminated with a high-tech light show every evening, and nature's beauty is heightened, that is highlighted, with a little help from technology.
The theme of our show this year is Blue Space. We've created a universe in which there's the blue planet. The visitors come in as explorers from Earth, they board the spacecraft, and it takes them to the blue planet. And the installations they see in the park are different biolandscapes on planet blue. There, they need to complete several tasks, which are the interactive installations we've set up. So the exhibition is immersive and interactive.
The exhibition uses 19 different types of lighting equipment to give visitors an unforgettable experience. This is the second year for the Beijing International Light Festival and will last until October 2021.
Painting eggs is a beloved tradition amongst Christians, especially Orthodox, on the occasion of Easter, symbolizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A veteran Hungarian artist has taken that craft to a whole new level. 67-year-old Tunde Chuhai has been designing eggs for decades. Each of her delicate creations takes days to make. Chuhai uses various kinds of eggs and says the best one comes from geese. She starts her craft by emptying the eggs through tiny pinholes before washing and then drawing patterns on them. The veteran egg designer says her style is so unique that she doesn't have to sign her eggs.
I never sign my eggs, as everyone knows they were done by me. I don't have to particularly prove that I did it because my style is so distinctive, even though others may use similar techniques.
Chuhai's decorative Easter eggs are very popular, so she has to work all year round to meet the demands. Her work is internationally recognized and has featured in galleries both at home and abroad. This year, however, her miniature creations have to stay at home with her due to the coronavirus pandemic. A young British man who is no stranger to danger takes his life in his hands, free climbing one of the highest skyscrapers in Europe. George King made his way to the top of a 116-meter hotel in the Spanish city of Barcelona without any ropes or safety measures. The 21-year-old scaled the building in only about 20 minutes. However, as he was climbing down the building, he was arrested by police. This is not the first time the British daredevil has risked his life with such a nail-biting climb. Last December, he scaled Barcelona's iconic Agbar Tower with a height of 144 meters. In 2019, he also free-climbed the 310-meter Shard building in London. The feat, however, earned him 6 months in a young offenders center.
A chocolate maker in the Belgian city of Bruges has come up with a novel recipe to boost business in the run-up to Easter.
When you're a classic chocolate maker, make very classic recipes. Caramels, praline, marzipan, and it's okay. We have classic bonbons too. But I think today, the customer wants to go on adventure, also when they are eating something.
The chocolatier's special concoction is a praline made of grass juice, Granny Smith apples, and an East Asian type of lemon. He believes chocolate contains a secret ingredient that can counter the lockdown gloom. Belgium is known as the chocolate capital of the world. The northern city of Bruges is in particular renowned for treating your taste buds to quality cocoa. However, the coronavirus pandemic has diminished foreign tourist numbers, with businesses now relying on local customers. This is heart-melting. A video of a stray cat carrying her sick newborn kitten to a veterinary clinic in Turkey is melting hearts online. Veterinarians were confused as a cat walked into their clinic clutching one of her kittens in her mouth. The cat then meowed for a long time and brought in a second kitten of hers. After a quick examination, the vets noticed that the kittens couldn't open their eyes due to an eye infection. The clinic staff immediately treated the animals, helping them open their eyes after a while. The stray feline and her kittens were placed in adoption after the completion of their treatment. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also canceled.
In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there is a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So welcome and peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear brothers and sisters. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're going to speak about overeating in the view of Islam.
so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you.
Today, Monday, is the 22nd of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to listen to chapter A'raf from the Holy Quran, verse 31.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya bani Adam, khudhu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjidin wa kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ
O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid, and eat and drink, but be not excessive. Indeed, he likes not those who commit excess.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It has been reported that the Arabs used to forbid themselves certain type of food in a similar manner to their prohibition of certain types of clothing. All these were inventions perpetrated by the Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, the ruling tribe in Mecca. The surah does not stop at calling on people to dress well when they attend to any act of worship or to enjoy wholesome food and elegant dress. It censures the prohibitions of such adornment which Allah has provided for His servants, as well as the prohibition of wholesome provisions. The authority of prohibit anything belongs only to Allah, who has given us the details of what He has forbidden and what He has made lawful in the legal code He has enacted for human life. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and the topic, overeating. A balanced diet is important for fulfilling nutritional needs and a healthy lifestyle. Excessive consumption has a negative impact on the quality of life. There is no prohibition in Islam to eat healthy food, allowing us to worship Allah in a healthy and strong body. However, consuming and wasting extra food has been discouraged. Hadith said that excessive food makes people weak. According to scientists, food is responsible for 80% of human diseases. Day after day, unhealthy food drives people to death. Even a dietary change will eliminate 23% or 11.6 million premature deaths worldwide, according to scientists.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with a practice, I mean a human practice, that is overeating or gluttony. There's a piece of hadith and a moral recommendation related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that whoever controls his sense of overeating and answering the carnal desires, they would be led to felicity. And also we find that, I mean, the destruction and the unfavorable end up of the great majority of people is because of excessive attention to overeating and answering certain other lusts inherent in everybody. We find that according to other instructions, it's indicated جاهدوا أنفسكم بالجوع والعطش فإن الأجر في ذلك كأجر المجاهد في سبيل الله. Try to practice a kind of jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against yourselves through enduring hunger and thirst, because the rewards of enduring hunger and thirst will be equivalent to the reward of a person who fights in the cause of Allah. And according to other pieces of hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ قِلَّةُ الْكَلَامُ قِلَّةُ الْمَنَامُ قِلَّةُ الطَّعَامُ. There are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors: least speech, least sleeping, and least eating. Or for example, talking as much as necessary, sleeping just as much as necessary, and eating just as much as necessary. وَثَلَاثَةٌ يُرْغِدُهُ اللَّهُ كَثْرَةُ الْكَلَامُ وَكَثْرَةُ الْمَنَامُ وَكَثْرَةُ الطَّعَامُ. And there are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disfavors: being excessive in talking, excessive talking, excessive sleeping or oversleeping, and overeating.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life.
What are the harms of eating excessively? Muslims should adopt a habit of eating moderately by filling their stomachs with no more than a third of food at each meal, except on special occasions. The foods that they eat should be nutritious, balanced, and wholesome. These prophetic eating practices will help facilitate both bodily health and spiritual growth. The conviction of the requirement of eating much in order to protect oneself from illness is wrong. This conviction is launched consciously by industrialists after the food industry emerged in order to increase the commercial market of their products. Then this thought is firmly established in minds by means of propaganda and advertisements. This is an extremely harmful prejudice. It is indicated that the conditions of hearts and brains of the people who went hungry for days and even months did not deteriorate, which means the requirement of eating too much for being healthy is wrong. One of the Islamic scholars, after stating that people who were used to eating a lot suffered more than the ones who were used to eating a little when they underwent starvation, says because what killed them was not the starvation they faced, but to a state of being full up which they were used to.
لا
ilaha illallah.
Now we're going to share with you the tips to prevent overeating. One of them is mindfully indulge. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of today's special, one of the major causes of overeating is dieting. This is because the more you try to regulate and restrict your eating, the greater urge you have to break the rules. Cutting out calories or food groups will eventually cause you to feel deprived or resort to overeating. Therefore, it is important to allow yourself the freedom to honor your cravings, which they are real. Mindfully indulging in your favorite treats gives you the opportunity to enjoy and savor the food that you love. It is a great way to remind yourself that they are always available to you, so you don't have to go crazy with them all at once.
You know, there's a tradition where a man comes to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, سَأَلَ رَجُلٌ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا نَأْكُلْ وَلَا نَشْبَعْ. Ya Rasulullah, we eat, but we're never satiated. Have you seen some people? They're always hungry. SubhanAllah, they're always hungry. We eat, and this is assuming there's no medical issue. We eat, but we're never satiated. We're always hungry. Look at what the Prophet says. Sometimes these things are spiritual problems and not physiological problems. The Prophet says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْتَرِقُونَ عَنْ طَعَامِكُمْ فَاجْتَمِعُوا عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet says, it seems that you do not eat together. Everyone eats by themselves. And this is one of the calamities of our time. People are under one roof. It's one family. The husband is eating by himself. The wife is eating in the kitchen by herself. All of the kids have their own food and they're eating alone and they're watching their iPhones and their iPads. The whole family is dispersed. The Prophet says, come together and eat together. And he says, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, and say Bismillah. Eat together. Eat in congregation, eat as a family, and say Bismillah, yubarak lakum fi. Allah will put barakah in your food. It will nourish you. There will be barakah in your food if we did this.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.